And good morning, everyone, on Money Matters Radio. Now we have a very special guest with us this morning from the estate preservation law firm. We have Brendan King. Good morning, Brendan. How are you?
Very well, Dick. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you here. And you know, in today's crazy world, there's all sorts of things going on. People are with the drop in the market. Then it dived last week. Now it's coming back up. And a lot of people who had relied on a lot of things for their future suddenly find themselves in a quandary. And one of the things you deal with is, as it says, estate preservation. So, and then there's probate. There's all kinds of things that come out of that. Why don't we talk today? I know you do all kinds of different things, but why don't we address some of those issues that people need to be faced with?
Sure. Happy to. I think that one of the things about, you'd mentioned the word probate, I think one of the biggest misconceptions, Dick, is what is probate? I think a lot of people have this understanding of, you know, I want to avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
Stay
away from probate.
That's right. You know, you always hear that. So I think what would be helpful for our listeners is certainly to sit back and say, hey, you know, what is this thing that we're trying to avoid? And really what probate ends up being at the end of the day is how I see it is it's really permission. In other words, when there's two scenarios that our clients or our listeners can face a probate. It's either during lifetime or at death. So, for instance, if someone is alive and well, maybe has an accident, falls down the stairs and becomes incapacitated, and they have assets in their name alone, you know, their sister, brother, or their spouse can't get access to those assets. They really can't. They can't get access to, and they don't have permission to deal with those assets while they're alive. And so what they have to do is go to probate, get that permission slip. Same thing on the death side. If someone were to die with an asset in their name alone, their spouse doesn't have access to that. So we would need to get permission from the probate court to get access to that. So that's what probate is. In other words, probate is dealing with probate assets, so I suppose we can step back and say, well, what's a probate asset?
Right.
And what a probate asset is it's an asset in someone's name alone without any listed beneficiary. So, you know, when someone does pass away, no one has permission to get that asset because you've got to get that permission slip. And there are ways to get that permission slip ahead of time, not from the court, but from the client.
Well, that's where I think one of the things that people are really, at least I talk from my side, and is my concern about courts is it never ends.
Yeah.
It drags out. The thing always makes me laugh is everybody else has to be there at 9. The judge, however, can come whenever he feels like it. And you might sit there from 9 o'clock till 11:30. And maybe if he doesn't take a lunch break for an hour and a half, you get in to see him before. But I mean, and I think the same, you hear these horror stories about a probate thing that dragged out for 2.5 years because there's two sons, there's a sister, and there's a long-lost cousin,
you know,
and an ex-wife.
You're
all
exactly
of a sudden,
it.
Here they all come, and now the poor, and of course, as we know, the last thing judges want to do is make a decision. Avoid decisions at all costs.
And you know what? That's really what we try to do.
And they say, you go solve it.
Yeah.
You know, and tell me and I'll stamp it.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. Is they would want the clients to have the ability to make the decision. Certainly there's a backlog in the courts with all the things going on. But really at the end of the day is, you know, they want that. And that's what we try to give our clients is before anything starts, before you have that accident, whether you die or become incapacitated, you make the decision. You tell someone, you give someone that permission. Slip ahead of time so that we're not having to go to court, ring the dinner bell, as you were suggesting, to have that, you know, fourth cousin you never even heard about, you know, show up in the dinner line.
Say, you know, he was always my best friend, and your father wanted me always to have, you know.
It's always the way.
Every Christmas he used to tell me he wanted me to have. But you know, the other side of it is, too, there's another interesting, and it was an experience of mine. Yeah. My father-in-law passed away when they went, and he had a checking account. Well, when they went to write the check for the funeral, everything, the bank says, you can't.
That's it.
And his wife had no access to that account because it was in his name only.
That's right.
And so what I've done in my own life, I've got 3 checking accounts, and I have another person on every one of those checking accounts, and they had to be my kids.
Yeah.
And I said, if anything happens to me, A, get to the bank, that's all cash, get it out of there, because you can write a check.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I said, if whatever's in the, go down and close the account.
Right.
And take the cash, and then you can pay for the funeral, you can bury me, you know.
Yeah.
And but don't get it out of there. And because it was an experience that I went through, and a lot of people still have singular names on checking accounts, and they're in their 60s and 70s, and they don't understand if you carry, like I have an interest-bearing account, so there could be $5,000 or $6,000 in that account at any given time. That if there's only one signatory and it's you and you have passed away, that money, you cannot get the money out of that account.
That's right. That's right. The banks won't let you have
it.
No. And that's why,
and
you know,
you can stand on your head.
Yeah.
You know, and they won't. They won't let you have it.
And you could be a you know, you could be that spouse and have the closest relationship with that decedent. And yeah, there's no way you're going to get access to that. There's no permission.
I went down there and the banker said, "Gene, I know, I understand, but legally I cannot give you this money."
Yeah.
So she had to go take money out of a savings account.
That's right.
To pay for the funeral and all those expenses.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a simple thing to have a signature. And you know, it's funny. Someone said to me, "Well, you know, your kids could go in." I said, "No, they can't, because I have all the checks."
Yeah.
I said, if they don't have a check, what can they do?
Right.
I said, you know, the bank's not going to just let them walk in and withdraw money.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
that is a valid way to avoid probate. And you have good kids, obviously.
Yeah.
You always want to be, and to their point, I mean, you always want to be careful who you add to an account
because
they do have full access to it. And there's some other downsides about adding someone to your account, but there are good. It's a good way to avoid probate.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that you always have to be careful though when you do add, other than the fact that you know you may be adding someone on there that could take the money, they may have a creditor issue. You know, so if they're in bankruptcy, that they could look at that as their account.
When my own mother was she was sick and she was terminal and we knew it, and I said to my sister Mary, I said, while she's still active, get down and get on every account.
Yeah,
because we have three boys and one girl.
Yeah.
So I said, Mary, you're the daughter. So she did. She went down and was on every one of the accounts.
Right.
And when my mother passed away, we didn't have to worry about probate.
Right.
Mary went down and just, and of course we had already, my father made us all agree when he was sick that whatever happened after my mother was gone, we had to take care of her, but it would go four ways. And he says, and if you don't do it, and you fight over a ring or a piece of paper, I'm going to come up out of that grave and haunt you. You know?
Yeah, and
so what we did, we had already made the deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was going four ways. So Mary, it was wonderful because Mary just took the money and wrote us checks out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And we all just walked, thank you,
That's
away.
Good. And that works out well when you have a very close family and you have, and maybe a smaller amounts in the account, but when you start getting up, and some of these clients that we see with, you know, that may add a child to an account, and there's maybe $500,000 in a money market. When you get to some more significant numbers, there can be some adverse consequences to that.
Yeah.
In other words, say for instance, if you know your mother had some money in an account, that $500,000, and she passed away, then Mary would have the $500,000, and if she gave that money away to you and your other two brothers, what can happen is there's a gift tax consequence to that.
Yeah.
So you know, it works well when you have that trust fund and you have a strong father, like you had indicated, that said, if you don't do it, I'm going to come back and haunt you. But for those families who don't have that kind of situation and may not have the reliability, or maybe you have kids who are in tough shape financially and maybe even in bankruptcy, you know, we use revocable trusts where, you know, you can set up a revocable trust, put your name on it as trustee. When you die, you name a successor trustee. It gives the same authority that Mary would have had, and then just can distribute it outright.
Yeah. Well, because you said, I mean, there was great trust and great affection.
Yeah.
I mean, the four of us are like this.
Yeah.
And in fact, we every year, we still, my sister lives in Virginia, my brother's in Atlanta, Georgia, and other ones in Maine, and I'm here.
Yeah.
But every year, we have a deal, and each year, one of us hosts a get together.
Oh, that's good.
And we get together for a weekend. But I mean, like I say, there was like four or five accounts, and there was, you know, $20,000 in one and seven in another.
Yeah.
There was nothing huge.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I mean, and then the house itself, and that was a funny thing where we started to talk about the house. So one brother says, "Well," I said, "it was at the Cape. We had a beautiful house at the Cape that they had." And the interesting thing was that they all said, "Yeah, well, we'll keep it." I said, "Okay, we're going to keep it. All right. Now let me share something with you. Who's going to take care of it?"
Right.
You know, we're going to keep on. Mary, how many weeks? You live in Virginia. Well, I love to come to the Cape in the summer, so I'll come for 2 weeks in the summer. Great, there's 2 weeks. We got 50 more to go. David, how many times you coming? Well, I'll come up once in the fall. Okay, now we got 49 weeks to cover.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And the more we talked about it, and my youngest brother says, well, why don't I just take it? I says, no, you can take it. I said, we'll sell it or we'll keep it. If you want to keep it, we'll set a value and you go borrow the money and you pay David his quarter, pay me my quarter, Mary her quarter, and your quarter's the down payment, and you got the house.
Yeah.
Oh, but you guys should just let me have it. Oh, sure.
Yeah. You need to be specific in those documents. You really do. Yeah.
So anyway, in the end, as one by one, it was 20 minutes of and it was a very friendly, we were chuckling and laughing, and everybody says, you know, Dick's right, I'm the oldest. You know, they call me the king. You know, the king's right. You know what? Who's really going to take care of it? How often are we going to come? And nothing is worse than a beautiful house that you leave unattended.
Yeah.
It deteriorates. You know, I said, you know, you got the washer, you got dryers, you got to make sure that's heated all winter because the pipes will freeze unless you drain them. Yeah. And do you start wanting to get a plumber in here to drain it? You know, and my mother had a lawn person. Who's going to pay for the lawn man to come?
That's right.
You know, I said,
crazy. And that's the cheap stuff. And then you got a roof that needs to be redone, and then you got real estate taxes and all that.
The good news was it was at the Cape. The value was fabulous. I mean, we were able, and we sold it in a week.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, we had four people, boom, like that.
Yeah.
And it was, and we just walked away. We went, we had the family lawyer, and he says, okay. And he just wrote the four checks and said,
beautiful.
See you later.
Done deal.
Have a fun time, you know. and it was over. Yeah. But, I mean, but then you hear the horror stories of families who end up never speaking to each other again over $20.
Right, right. And it happens. It happens. And actually, you know, it's very ironic. Some of the biggest fights we've seen in probating an estate has to do with the tangibles, the knickknacks in the house. You know, the grandfather clock or the Hummel or, you know, I can see sometimes, you know, they'll be fighting about jewelry, but some of the stuff they fight about, they'll spend more money arguing over the item.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. Someone else go down to, Walmart, and you can go buy another one for $20.
Well, the interesting thing is what we did is she was sick and she had pancreatic cancer and we knew she had 3 months. Mm-hmm. And my youngest daughter went and stayed with her and who lived in Rhode Island at the time. And by the way, had a great experience. She says, Nana, she used to sit there and she brought all the pictures of us kids up and telling her stories and everything. But at any event, the interesting thing, we decided that how it would work is Mary would get all my mother's personal anything that was my mother's was my sister's. Mm-hmm. And then they had beautiful, I mean, the furniture, and there was family heirlooms and stuff. And how we worked it out is we went in the order of our age. Mm-hmm. I picked for one item first.
I like that because I'm the oldest too, Dick.
I took one item first, then David took an item,
then
my brother Terry took an item, and then Mary would pick one. And what I only wanted one thing.
Right.
I got mine. David only wanted one thing. Mary only took two or three things, and my brother Terry took everything else. He took the couches and all that stuff, and he moved it up to where he had just bought a house up in Maine, Kennebunk.
Yeah. Okay.
And because I only wanted one thing. David wanted one thing. It's all he wanted.
Right.
And it was simple.
Yeah.
You know, and it was done in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we had prearranged it.
That's right.
Know?
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But we all got along.
That's right.
And there was nobody coming out of the woodwork and saying, why? I mean, one of my kids said, Dad, how come you didn't? I said, because I didn't want it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you almost have to have all the stars line up. You pre-planned and you got along. And a lot of times, most people don't pre-plan and most families don't get along.
No.
No,
but especially, I mean, I've just seen it. I've heard so many stories, as I'm sure you have, you know, Attorney King, where what you have is someone will come in and they want this certain thing and they or it's $50 or it's $5 whatever it is, $1,000 it doesn't matter.
Right.
They'll fight and argue and cause and then the heels get dug in.
Right.
You know, and
right.
then now you're sitting there and you got four people ready to kill each other and you're trying to keep civility in the picture.
Yeah. You know? Because you know what, they're not really fighting about what it is. It's that item, that Hummel or whatever it is it's all about the other issues that they've had in their lives with each other, and it comes out.
Well, Mom always favored you.
Yeah, exactly. And now Mom's not here, so you know, a lot of times they pull punches when there's the parents are around. When the parents aren't around anymore, then it gets to be kind of crazy. And I've actually seen children who have attended meetings with my clients before they died, who are totally different people. And then when the parents are gone, they come in and they're very
Attila the Hun shows up.
That's right, with the big sack and the horns and the helmet and everything.
You know, which mine is mine and which what's yours is mine, you know. That's Dad always wanted, you
isn't
know?
That fair?
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're talking this morning with Attorney Brendan King, who's with the Estate Preservation Law Firm in Worcester, Massachusetts, and we'll tell folks how to get a hold of him in just a minute when we get back from this break. And we're discussing the ins and outs of what happens in families and when it comes down to, and how proper planning, because we'll come back to planning when we get back, because if you plan it and you sit down and you have a rational discussion, then those things are all put in place, and boy, does it eliminate grief.
It really does. It really does. You know, it makes it a lot easier for me.
That's true, but let me tell you what your father said.
That's right.
You know, yeah. That may be so, young man, but let me tell you what he said. You know, he didn't like you. You know? No, I'm only teasing. We'll be right back here on Money Matters Radio this morning.
Are the odds against you or someone you care about facing an upcoming civil or criminal court battle, being wrongly accused, harassed, or victimized? See what the privilege of having strong evidence and information can bring to providing the victory that belongs to you or a loved one. Put the power of our investigative agency behind you. For more information, call for a free consultation. Clandestine Investigative Services, 1-877-HIRE-PI2, 877-447-3742, or on the web at cisandassociates.com. Clandestine Investigative Services, toll-free 877-447-3742. Clandestine Investigative Services is a licensed and bonded Massachusetts private detective agency, available 24/7 at 877-447-3742.
This is Money Matters Morning Edition. Time now for a look at sports.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Carl Bean. This is the Money Matters Morning Edition brought to you by Yankee Spirits, Route 20 in Sturbridge. Bruins fail to finish off Philadelphia, losing 2-1. This will force a seventh game. Winner goes on, loser goes home at Boston Garden Friday night. They didn't play badly, but they just couldn't put the puck in the net until with 2 minutes to go. Milan Lucic scored the goal and talked to us.
You know, nice to get one pass, played great, but then again, I don't think we generated too many scoring chances. I mean, we had a lot of shots, but a lot of them were outside shots. We got to find a way to create good quality scoring chances, and when we do, we got to find ways to bury them. And I mean, it's important that we get a lot of traffic and take away his vision.
The Flyers were 3-0 down in this series, have a chance to make some history. Sounds like the Red Sox of 2004. The amazing story are the Habs. The Montreal Canadiens knocked off the best team in the NHL, the Washington Capitals. Now they've knocked off the defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins, beating them last night 5-2 in a 7-game series. It's amazing what they've done. Celtics tonight seek to send LeBron into free agency at the Garden if they can win the game tonight. They lead the series 3-2. Tim Wakefield pitched very well. Sox didn't hit, however. And the Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 3-2. Tim Wakefield was pretty happy with his performance.
I thought I pitched pretty well. Made one mistake to Snyder at homer, and it cost us the game.
Plate umpire Dale Scott was absolutely horrendous behind the plate, to the point where Terry Francona got kicked out of the game for complaining about his strike calls, and with good reason. Off today, on to Detroit tomorrow. This has been the Money Matters Morning Edition, brought to you by Yankee Spirits, Route 20 in Sturbridge. I'm Carl Bean.
Bottles of wine, rare and fine, and inexpensive too. Cases of beer, strange or weird, classic, local or new. Spirits galore from ceiling to floor, at prices you'd find at the outlets. We have 3 locations in Massachusetts. Stop by a Yankee Spirit.
Yankee Spirits, exit 3B off I-84, exit 9 off Mass Pike, Route 20 in Sturbridge.
And we're back this morning on Money Matters. We're talking this morning with Attorney Brendan King. And Brendan is with the Estate Preservation Law Firm. We've been talking about going to probate and about families and eliminating trouble, problems, and unfortunately, you know, family spats, if things are properly planned and if things are done so that you know exactly what's going to happen and how it'll happen. And that's, of course, what you do. and probably do best. So why don't you talk about those things that people can do
sure.
to prevent A, going to probate, B, family squabbles, et cetera.
That's right. Well, thanks, Dick. And really, that's what it is. I mean, if you can avoid probate, I think, and have everything written out very clearly, though, getting back to that permission slip, giving the permission slips to people you trust that will do a good job, certainly that may solicit the opinions of other family members, but is not afraid to take a hard stance when they have to and make a proper decision. So to avoid, you know, when we're thinking about lifetime quagmires such as, you know, incapacity, we're thinking about two main documents, the healthcare proxy and the power of attorney. So the healthcare proxy, what you're saying is you want to name someone as your agent, someone to be able to make a medical decision for you if a doctor determines you're not able to make one for yourself. At that point, when a doctor says that, then your healthcare proxy steps into your shoes and makes any decision you could have made for yourself had you been able to do so, but you can't. That is a substituted judgment type of thing where they're making a decision as to what you would have wanted, not what they want for you.
Yep.
And so that's very important for a lot of healthcare agents to understand. You also are allowed to pick an alternate. So you can have, you know, pick your spouse and your oldest son or your
yep.
spouse and your daughter or whoever. But it's important to think about who would make those decisions. And again, not be afraid to make that kind of decision.
Let me ask you this, because one of the things I've done is I've got five kids. So I have the first, third, and fifth. And that's like a committee, because to make those decisions, even the money and all those other things,
right.
if you put one person in charge, the other four are basically rendered irrelevant.
Yeah.
And he can do what he wants.
That's right.
But if I always took the position if it was three of them, yeah. it would take two votes to get
yeah.
anything passed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
at least, you know, two of them
sure.
agreed.
Sure, yeah. absolutely. And that, you know, when you're thinking about more than one, the healthcare proxy has to be one, but you can certainly
yeah.
do that for the powers of attorney.
Yeah.
So, for instance, you know, if you had a situation where, again, during your lifetime.
Even the executors.
Yeah, even the executors at death. So in your will, you could have three.
Yeah.
Or as a successor trustee in a trust
yeah.
you set up, you can have three. And that works out well, you know, but like anything else, you know, it has another side to it. Sometimes things get caught in committee.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but you know, to your point, if there's three, it's unlikely because,
right.
you know.
I've been in politics a long time. You never have a committee with an even number.
Yeah,
nothing
that's right.
gets done.
That's right.
You know,
that's
if
right.
you have an odd number,
yeah.
it takes a motion and a second.
It's true.
Know?
It's you know some of the longest battles we've seen between executors has been when there was two. And
yeah.
one of the worst fights I've ever seen was with two brothers. They almost spent the entire estate just fighting with each other. And
yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it's usually a good idea to, you know, if you think they're not going to get along, to not have the two. Or if you do, maybe you pick a professional as one, and then maybe a family member. So the family member has some professional, you know, assistance in making those decisions. So, you know, it's again, the healthcare proxy, power of attorney during life, and then at death, you know, keeping out of probate, you certainly could add people to your you know, your accounts. But one of the things I did want to mention is that a couple of items that are often overlooked that the will doesn't handle are retirement accounts, IRAs, 401ks, and life insurance, because those have beneficiary designations on them. And no matter what you put in your will, that doesn't have anything to do with what you've listed as a beneficiary designation. So you've got to keep those up to date, too. It's important
yeah.
to remember that.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times we'll have clients who come in and we'll see they've done some planning before and they have this elaborate will and this trust. And then you
yeah.
ask them who's on their life insurance policy, and they say, oh, my ex-wife. I forget about that.
Yeah. Well, no, I got to tell you, I have my five kids
yeah.
are equal owners of
yeah.
the IRA, all of those
good.
Investments.
Yeah.
That's in five names.
That's good.
You know,
yeah.
and so they can say anything they want.
That's right.
They're getting one-fifth.
That's right. And one-fifth is fine, you know, is very fair.
I have to tell you a funny story. I have a great physician, Mass General, Alan Gorel, and I have a physical every year. And Alan's a great pal of mine. He and I ski together, and we're good friends, and he's also my doctor. And last year I went down, and every year he tells me, you're in great shape. He's, for a guy your age, you do too. He's, you keep working, you don't, you're just wonderful. He says, he teaches at Harvard 3 days, and he's at
yeah.
Mass General 2 days. He says, and he writes books. I'm going to put you in my book. He says, you know, you're awesome. And he says, you just stay in good shape. So I said, Alan, cut the BS. Get that little pad. How many more years have I got?
Yeah.
And he started to laugh, and he said, but if you promise me you won't get in front of a truck, he said, 30. I said, write it down. So he wrote down 30 more years,
yeah.
great shape, and signed it. And I made five copies. And I said to each one of the kids by their name, Dennis is the oldest. I said, I got good news and I got bad news. I said, first the good news. And I put an arrow up to the copy of the thing the doctor signed. I said, now here's the bad news. You'll be 81 before you get the money.
You know? It'll go right to his nursing home costs.
I got five phone calls. You know, oh, Dad, I think it's... My middle daughter, Kathy, called me up and she says, Dad, I think it's wonderful. I'm going to have my dad for 30 more years. But I had an idea. If I got to wait 30 years for the money, why don't you send me 1/30th each year for the next 30 years?
See, smart.
Smart. So I wrote her a check, and I said, you're going to promise me you'll never say a word to the other four, but you're the only one that's got any brains in the family. And I said, here's a couple of bucks to go have some fun with or something.
Yeah.
But you know, it's funny because I'm trying to do the same thing with my own kids that my dad did with us, so that they understand that look, you know, you're all brothers and sisters. You share.
Right. And that's what I think is so hard. Now, being a parent myself, my children are very small, but you know, one of the things that, you know, I think I get most mad at now, and I think I will always be most upset about, is when they don't get along. Even now, when they don't get along and they're 7, 5, 3 and 6 months, you know, when they don't get along and they fight downstairs, that bothers me.
Yeah.
And I can see how that will never end. Now, the problem is, and I think with most families, is that you have this view of your kids getting along, and when they're this age, and no matter how old they are, but what ends up happening is they get married.
Yeah.
And as we know, the outlaws come in. And when the outlaws come in, they're very influential.
External influences.
That's right. Yeah. The external influences come in.
Yeah.
And quite often, I mean, not to pick on outlaws here, but quite often, you know, it's the whispering in the ear and the pillow talk and that sort of thing that, you know, influences and gets in the middle of all these things. Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, it is very important to have those things written out. But again, strong parental figures such as yourself and your dad, it can be very influential because, you know, you always want to, you know, say, hey, this is the way we do things. You know, you're going to honor my wishes and go from there. So.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I've got friends who are in the funeral business, and some of the stories they tell about just picking out a casket.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he said, you know, and he says, I walk out of there, and he says, I'm almost crying.
Yeah.
Here's, you know, and then and the things they say to each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where were you when he needed you?
Yep.
Yeah, show up now. Oh, boy, big shot. Let's get the $20,000 casket.
Yeah.
Where were you when he needed you?
Right.
Eddie said, I'm in the middle of this thing, and I'm saying, folks.
Right.
Calm down. It's a funeral. Your father just passed away.
Yeah.
Let's do it right.
Yeah.
Let's take it easy. And he says, you know, I don't want to be a referee. So sometimes I feel like I got to wear a red and white stripe, a black and white striped shirt. You know?
Yeah.
Well, you must be in the same boat. You must walk out of situations at the end of a day and see a family where they came in, everybody was there, and they walk out not speaking to each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, over something that just is, you know, not even important.
Right. And again, it all gets down to the more planning you do, more prepared you are, the more you talk to your kids and have things written out very clearly and very precisely, the less issues we have. A lot of the plans that we draft, we don't have as many issues, but when we have someone who dies and we inherit the wills from someone else who's drafted them, there tends to be a lot of problems because the wills are unclear what they mean. Yeah. And any time you leave something up to speculation, you're going to have the opinions of all the different kids and all their spouses saying, well, this is what they meant there. This is what they meant. Yeah. And then what ends up happening is you end up in litigation. And we all know what happens there. Yeah. You're paying lawyers by the hour to fight over
something that could have been solved.
Exactly.
Well, the other thing, too, a lot of people don't realize, you make out a will when you're 35 years old.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, when you die at 70 and they go to pull that thing out, do you know what the world was like 30 years ago?
Right, exactly.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
And things have changed in there, you know, and there may even be members in the family who have since passed away that were mentioned in that will.
That's right.
And so it's almost worthless.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to keep these things up to date. Yeah. More often than not, we see people who come in with these old, as you said, 30-year-old wills with, you know, blue paper stapled to the back of them, and they're crinkly and yellow pages.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to keep these things up to date because not only do family dynamics change, the law changes.
Yeah.
You know, tax laws change.
Yeah.
You know, we have a Massachusetts estate tax that has a very low threshold that, you know, in 2003 came into effect. So, you know, there's a lot of plans. Anything that was done before there, a lot of things change. And I think what is important is that not to, you know, it's one and done. You know, oh, I have a will, I'm all set.
Yeah.
I'm very, you know, very infrequently do people have, you know, the will set up and then that's it. We just don't do simple wills anymore. When we tell people what wills don't do, most people will come in and draft at some sort of trust do some other kind of planning. We do a lot of elder law planning.
Yeah.
As clients get older, they're more savvy about how to protect their assets from the nursing coming home. So, you know, once people come in and find out what a will doesn't do, or the fact that they need to update this stuff, and we see our clients, we like to see them every couple of years, mainly because we feel that powers of attorney go stale after 2 years. A lot of banks won't recognize an old power of attorney. Not that they're invalid legally, but because, you know, banks have been bit so many times by the ex-spouse that comes in with a power of attorney and cleans out an account. They have a rule, almost an internal rule, a lot of them, that says, you know, you come with a two-year-old power of attorney or more, we're not going to honor it. You got to go get another one or have this one validated in some way. Yeah, sure.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I was talking to someone recently. I happened to be in the Sturbridge Rotary Club. We were just chatting, and we talked about a will. And I said, you got a will? He said, oh, yeah. He says, where is it? He says, I don't know, somewhere in the house. I says, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you looked at it? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. He says, right, you know, I know it's there. I got one. I'm all set. I said, no, you're not. Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean, Dick? I says, you better go dig it out and make sure that everything in there is still valid.
Sure.
I said, when did you do it? He said, I don't know. You know, Bob George did it for me so many years. I says, Bob just retired.
Right.
said,
right.
His son now runs that law firm.
Right.
I said, you better go check it.
Yeah.
you
know? Yeah.
And I said, because it might be 25 or 30 years old. And it's invalid.
Yeah, yeah, and they do, and it has so many provisions in there that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe provisions, as I mentioned, to ex-spouses or to charities that aren't around, or to a church that may have been
closed.
Or, you know, and maybe your executors were a brother who may have predeceased.
That's right.
So any of those things that aren't valid in the will anymore.
That's
so
right.
You essentially, to your point, have a will that's no good.
Well, not only that, then that just opens the Pandora's box, because if there's one little thing in there and somebody wants to seize on that, they can say, see, you know.
Exactly.
I told you.
Yeah. You know. If you can get someone's, you know, foot in the door, you know, into court, then it's just going to open up everything else.
And then it's all called money.
Yeah. and it's all green.
It is. And it does. It'll drain the heck out of an estate.
Yeah.
If that thing gets into litigation.
That's right.
And into hearings, and it's just.
That's
and then
right.
there's research that has to be done, and it just, and the clock just runs.
That's right.
And the price goes up.
Lawyers
and
make a lot more money, you know, trust and state lawyers make a lot more money going to court than they do, you know, setting up good plans.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's in your best interest to set up a good one.
Yeah, keep you out of court.
That's right. That's what you want. Absolutely.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with Brendan King, who's with the estate preservation law firm in Worcester. And we're having a spirited discussion this morning on the things that people forget to do that they need to think about. And they make sure that in the next so many years, this country is going to be more old than it's young. And
you're right.
And it's getting, and we're all living longer.
And
so some of those things that you thought were valid, you know, 20 years from now, they're not going to be able to read them.
That's right. That's right.
So we have to take that. We'll be back, and we'll talk about those issues in just a minute here on Money Matters Radio.
The Spirit 970 Restaurant Guide welcomes you to Central Massachusetts South at the crossroads of New England. Are you looking for good food and good times? You'll find both at some of the best restaurants anywhere right here. So go out and enjoy. TT's Townline Family Restaurant and Jacob's Pizzeria, 29 Main Street in Webster. Have $1.99 breakfast, 2 eggs, home fries, toast, and free coffee with your meal from 6 to 8 a.m. Or try the spaghetti and meatballs all you can eat all week long for $5.99. Zorba's Pizzeria and Tavern, 132 Sturbridge Road, Route 20 in Charlton, is proud to serve their customers some of the tastiest dishes this side of the Greek Isles. They have a senior menu available Monday through Wednesday, including soup, salad, and entree, coffee or tea. There's an all-you-can-eat Greek roasted chicken on Thursday with ziti sauce, roasted potatoes, or fries and coleslaw. Zorba's Pizzeria and Tavern, the best in Mediterranean cuisine. Go relax on their outdoor garden fish patio.
APS Automotive, family-owned and operated since 1972, offers the most competitive rates for service and quality pre-owned vehicles far below any competitor. Whether your needs are the first car, the second family car, or an upgrade to a high-end reliable car, Steve Falcone and his staff will provide you the attention and effort you deserve. APS Automotive, located on Route 12 in Auburn, can meet the challenges of slow and poor credit with program cars and buy here, pay here programs. Call or stop by APS Automotive, 823 Southbridge Street, Auburn. That's Route 12. Call 508-832-2866 or click APSauto.net.
Velvet Green Garden Center, located right on Route 20, just over the Sturbridge Line in Brimfield, is your local specialist in greenery. Come on in and see for yourself. They offer proven winter annuals, perennials, hanging baskets of all sizes, vegetable plants and seeds, an array of mulch choices, and a full line of culinary and medicinal herbs. Now featuring the renowned Jonathan Green Lawn Care, the very same used in our nation's capital. So stop in at Velvet Green Garden Center, right on Route 20, just over the Sturbridge Line in Brimfield.
boy is your car dirty. Don't let them say that about your car. Dunkin' Foam It. Dunkin' Foam It, yes. For only $10, clean it. Really clean it. Top to bottom, including the wheels. Wow, your car will sparkle. You can also get it done for $8 and the $6 exterior special. You paid a lot for your car. Keep it clean at Dunkin' Foam It at the Big Bunny, Route 131, Southbridge. You can do it yourself, too. Dunkin' Foam It at the Big Bunny.
Hello, my name is Paul Raffa, Business Development Manager at Southbridge Credit Union. Credit unions are unique in the world of financial institutions. An important goal for credit unions is building bridges with the community. We invite your company to Lunch and Learn, a free on-site financial education and planning program open to any local business. Call me, Paul Raffa, at 508-765-5454 to schedule your event. Lunch will be provided. Southbridge Credit Union, where people are worth more than money, making an impact in the local community.
Hi, this is Lenny Clark. You're listening to Money Matters with Joe Mangiacarty, my good buddy. I don't have any money, so it doesn't matter, but Joe does. Keep listening. It's Money Matters.
Good morning, Joe Mangiacarty, Money Matters, Morning Edition, Thursday, May 13th. Let's take a look at headlines. Well, in East Brookfield, a handful of voters last night joined their neighbors in Spencer, who recently approved a $6,000 feasibility study of David Prouty High School, which is shared by the two towns. East Brookfield, a former substitute teacher at Quantibog Regional Middle School in Warren, accused of indecent assault on a 15-year-old student, will remain on probation for 1 year as part of a plea agreement reached yesterday. Well, a New Hampshire man died after jumping into the Merrimack River in Methuen while fleeing police. 35-year-old Stephen Gatto of Salem, New Hampshire, was a passenger in a stolen vehicle that was being chased by police through Methuen early on Tuesday. In Dudley, a drunken man is to be arraigned May 21st in Dudley District Court on ammunition charges stemming from his arrest by Webster police on Interstate 395. And a second person who allegedly helped killers of 22-year-old Jose Rivera flee the scene of the April 6th shooting is scheduled to court on accessory to murder charges. A former Clinton man on the Massachusetts Most Wanted list since 2004 has been found and is being held in the Dominican Republic. Well, an electrical fire damaged the Auburn Sportsman Club on Elm Street yesterday. And in Worcester, a man using a phony gun to rip off a drug dealer bled to death after being stabbed during the attempted theft of what turned out to be fake crack cocaine. And a city firefighter in Worcester is expected to return to work after a grand jury decided there was no evidence warranting the pursuit of a child rape case brought against him back in March. Worcester police continue to investigate the shooting of a 19-year-old man on Albert Street Tuesday afternoon, about a block from the fatal shooting last month. Let's take a look at lottery numbers. Daily number drawn 8149, evening 7598, and we have the Mega Millions numbers 26, 33, 43, 46, 54, and 9. Mega Bucks number drawn 2, 5, 11, 12, 18, and 36. Cash windfall 13, 14, 28, 29, 33, and 46. I'm Joe Mangiacarty. This is Money Matters Morning Edition.
This morning, a person reached out and another stepped up. Sue led the active older adults in an exciting exercise class at the YMCA in downtown Southbridge. Not only was this a terrific opportunity to meet old friends and make new acquaintances, those attending noticed they felt stronger and that their balance is improving. This happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, and right down the street. We are living the United Way in Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. We are realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. We are responding to our neighbors in need. We collectively impact the communities where we live and work. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. United Way of Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. Making a difference in our backyard.
Good morning, I'm Joe Mangiacarty. This is Money Matters Morning Edition. Let's take a look at the weather today. Mostly sunny, patchy fog and frost will burn off from this morning. Now, highs in the mid-60s, partly cloudy this evening with the temperatures in the upper 40s tomorrow. Showers are likely, highs in the lower 60s. Friday night, cloudy, chance of showers overnight and temperatures in the lower 50s. For Saturday, sunny skies, highs in the mid-60s. Joe Mangiacarty, Money Matters Morning Edition.
Tired of having to leave work to go spend a small fortune at one of those high-end coffee shops? Well, Wise Coffee Services can make it so your business has fresh coffee available all the time. They will come by your office and deliver everything you need so your business can start having fresh gourmet coffee every day. Without the hassle of leaving the office or draining your wallet, contact Wise Coffee Services at 1-800-52-TASTE. That's 800-52-TASTE. That's Wise Coffee Services, the wise choice when it comes to great coffee.
Good morning, I'm Joe Mangiacotti. This is Money Matters Morning Edition, Thursday, May 13th. Let's take a look at the financial indexes at the close of the business day yesterday. Dow closed up 148 at 10,896. NASDAQ 2425. S&P 1171. 10-year bonds stopped trading at 3.56. Oil down 65 cents at $75 a barrel even. Gold up $10.90 over the 1200 market, $1,210 an ounce. Gasoline prices in the Boston area are falling. 288 today, 289 yesterday, a week ago 290, 1 month ago 277, and 1 year ago 1 gallon of regular gasoline in the Boston area, $2.23. Let's take a look at the markets as they open around the world.
In Asia overnight, the Nikkei up 2.1%, the Hang Seng up 1%. In London right now, the FTSE up 0.2%, Paris is down 0.2%, and Frankfurt up 0.4%. The yen at 93.30, sterling at $1.4775, and the euro has gone below $1.26 and $1.2585.
Playa del Carmen welcomes you to their authentic Mexican restaurant right here at 179 Main Street, Route 131, Sturbridge. Playa del Carmen is best known for their Mexican recipes and their renowned margaritas. Come in for lunch, dinner, or just a few drinks at their fully stocked bar. Playa del Carmen is an affordable family restaurant and cantina, specializing in the most important thing, customer satisfaction. Sundays are special with Kids Clown Day, and later, a live mariachi band from 6 to 10 p.m. Playa del Carmen, 179 Main Street, Route 131, in Sturbridge.
This is Money Matters Morning Edition. Time now for a look at sports.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Carl Bean. This is the Money Matters Morning Edition brought to you by Howlett Lumber with two convenient locations, Route 20 in Charlton and East Brimfield Road in Holland. Howlett Lumber is where your friends are. Boston Bruins lose to Philadelphia 2-1. That ties this series at 3 apiece. Flyers are down 3-0 in this series. Now they've tied it. Winner takes all Friday night at the Garden. Claude Julien says we've got to score.
Somehow we got to find ways to score goals. They had about 30 block shots tonight. So we shot about 61 shots basically at the net, and 30 of them got blocked. So they did a great job of fronting our shots, and you got to give them credit for doing that.
The winner of the game Friday night takes on the Cinderella story of the NHL, the Montreal Canadiens. First, they knock off the Washington Capitals, best team in the league. Now they've knocked off the defending Stanley Cup champion, Pittsburgh Penguins. 5-2 was the final last night. Absolutely amazing story. Celtics tonight seek to send LeBron into bye-bye land, or free agency as they like to call it. If they can beat them tonight, Celts eliminate Cleveland. They lead the series 3-2. Tim Wakefield pitched a nice ball game. He really did. But the Red Sox didn't hit very much. Lose to the Jays 3-2. Dale Scott was absolutely horrendous behind the plate. In fact, second baseman Dustin Pedroia wanted to launch an investigation as to why.
They must have had a flight. I'm actually going to check on that. If they had a flight, we're going to make sure it's delayed. Because I could do that. I have that kind of pull around here. Thank you.
Off today to Detroit for 2 tomorrow. This has been the Money Matters Morning Edition, brought to you by Howlett Lumber with two convenient locations, Route 20 in Charlton, East Brimfield Road in Holland. Howlett Lumber is where your friends are. I'm Carl Bean.
And we're back this morning on Money Matters Radio. And we're talking this morning with attorney Brendan King. And Brendan is with the estate preservation law firm. And we're talking about those situations that come toward the end of lives where there's so much planning that has to take place, and without planning, it's called a disaster in the making.
It really is.
And you just need to understand that, folks, that while you may be comfortable and safe and think everything's going to be fine, mm-hmm. nothing will happen, it'll be okay, no, it won't.
That's right.
And
that's
the
right.
Bottom line is no, it won't, because you're predicting things that you can't know are going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it is very, very important that we chat with somebody who's knowledgeable, who does it, and who knows what they're doing, and they can make suggestions. And you make the ultimate decisions as to what avenue, because there's many avenues.
That's right.
You can take on this whole situation. But you make the decision, but you're making it with somebody giving you professional help and guidance, so that the decision you make, you know, is the right decision.
Right, and it's your decision, because you know, if you decide not to make the decision yourself, you're saying I'm going to leave it up to someone else to make it. You have
by deciding not to make a decision,
yeah.
You just made one.
Exactly.
And people don't understand that you made a decision to cause chaos.
When I go out and talk about this topic, what I always ask people, one of the first things I do, Dick, is I ask the audience, who here has a will? And, you know, you got a couple of people raise their hand kind of sheepishly.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, what I say is, well, believe it or not, those of you who have your will have your will. The other ones have the state's will. It's called the intestate statute. And to your point, that decision's made. So when you die, depending on your marital status and how many kids you have, it goes out the way the state says so. And believe it or not, if you're married, and this is an important point, folks, because if you don't have your own will and you die and you're married and you have children, believe it or not, your spouse doesn't get everything. Your spouse gets a portion of the estate, and the kids get a portion of the estate. That's what the intestate statute says, and that's not what most people want. Most people want to provide for the surviving spouse, and then after maybe leave things to the kids. So again, to your point, Dick, you know, you're leaving it up to chance. You're leaving it up to somebody else to make that decision.
Well, but the minute you don't make, and by the way, it's not just in this; it's anything you do.
That's right.
By not making a decision. I used to do seminars in marketing and leadership, and I always talked about that, especially with leaders. I never call them managers because you can't manage people. They won't let you.
Yeah.
Got any kids? Go ahead and try to manage them.
Right.
See what they tell you. You know. But I used to do it in leadership because you got to provide leadership, and it's like coaching.
Yeah.
And I used to tell people all the time, the minute you don't make a decision, you just made one.
Yeah.
And they'd look at me. I'd say, think about it. Think about it.
Right. You know? Right. Very true.
I said, when you make a decision not to pass on 3rd and 5, you just made a decision to run.
Right. Right.
That's only 2 things you can do.
Right.
You could punt.
That's right.
You know, but
that's
you only got 5 yards. You can make 5 yards.
You know? I don't know about me.
Yeah. Well, anyway. But again, getting back, how can people get a hold of you? Because I think that's important, because we've had such a good discussion this morning. I know there are people out there who are saying,
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I wonder what my will does look like.
Exactly. Well, we're located in downtown Worcester, 71 Elm Street, Suite 102, Worcester, Massachusetts, 01609. But we do travel, and we go to see clients. We visit houses or any place where a client would want to meet us. Our telephone number is 508-751-5010. Again, 508-751-5010. My email is bking@estatepreservationlaw.com, and our website is www.estatepreservationlaw.com.
Well, that's terrific. And you know, one of the things we just chatted about. Let me ask you this about those wills, because you've raised some interesting point. Are they really the answer that people think they are, or are they better off to sit down with someone like yourself and look at revocable trusts and irrevocable trusts and so forth? Are they more binding than a will might be?
Well, you know, it's not so much that they're more binding. It's just, again, getting back to the point that that wills don't really aren't really the way that people are going. When people have the information, you talked about giving seminars, and I mentioned giving seminars. When I tell people what it is a will doesn't do, most people will always have some sort of will as a backup plan, but more often than not, the dispository instrument that most people are using today at death is a trust of some sort, and it's usually a revocable trust because it avoids probate. You can keep assets in trust for minors longer, and that's an important thing, distinction to make. You know, we're always going to have wills because, you know, you want to name your guardians for your minor kids. If you were to have, God forbid, die with young kids, you're still going to always have the will, but most people move their assets these days with a trust because we're trying to keep things out of probate, and they don't, instead of putting names on assets, you leave them in trust, name a successor trustee, and avoid probate that way. These trusts can continue on for special needs children, minors, and even spendthrift children, because, you know, there's a lot of kids out there, especially inheritances, that don't respect money. So in other words, you know, if they go out and earn it, they may, you know, think a little bit before they spend all their money. But, you know, when they inherit it, they look at it as free money.
Yeah.
And parents know that, so they want to keep those assets back from them and not just give it outright. Plus, you know, with a 60% divorce rate, you know, that's a good way to lose your assets and your inheritance.
Been there a couple of times.
Yeah. So, you know, it's so for a lot of people, when we tell them what a trust can do for them and what a will doesn't do, they most opt for that. And why I think people do come for the information is that we don't charge for initial consultations. Come on in. You know, you can sit down with us. There's no charge. Yeah. Find out what it is that you have, what we would recommend. And by the end of the first meeting, we're going to be able to quote you a price. And then so you'll know what it costs to do it. And then you can make an informed decision whether you want to do it or not.
Right.
Yeah. And any decision based on information is a good decision.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and again, you know, most of us know that a red traffic light means stop and a green one means go and a yellow means hurry up quick. You know,
I did that a couple times on my way here this morning.
Anyway, but having said that, but then beyond that, what do we really know? Mm-hmm. We can think we know and we can think we have the answers. As we mentioned earlier, sometimes you do a will and it's 25 years and you haven't even looked at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And things have dramatically changed in they one's have. Life from the day you had that done.
Yeah.
So it's very, very important. And I know with computers and everything else, it's so easy to go on online and for $5 you can get a will.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, that's a good point, Dick, because here's what I tell clients. If a client comes in and tells me, and it's all about specialization, and law is like medicine. You know, you wouldn't go to your you know, general practitioner, your
you know
family
what I
doctor.
Tell people all the time? I tell people all the time. I say, I want you to listen, folks. If the cardiologist and the radiologist and the oncologist and the gynecologists were as wrong as many times as the meteorologist, we'd all be dead.
That's right. That's right. You know, I'd love to get that job. You know, it's a 50% chance of rain, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you got to go to a specialist in law. I mean, law is like medicine. You got to go to see a specialist. You got to get the right information. And certainly feel free to get a second opinion. But, you know, I can't say this enough, is that this is all we do. We don't even draft real estate deeds in our firm. You know, to move the property into the trust or whatever we're doing, we have that done for us. So again, see a specialist, get in, make an informed decision, get the information. If a client comes in and says to me, you know, I want to have a will, I want to have this trust and that sort of thing, and I do it without asking any questions, I'll just say, hey, go to LegalZoom. You know, you can go buy a will to your point for $75 or something like that. I give advice, and then I have tools in my chest which I apply to whatever, you know, whatever situation that I see. But if someone comes in and just wants, you know, it'd be like me going to see a doctor and say, hey, doc, I need a stent this afternoon. Yeah. And him saying, okay, sounds good, and then putting one in. For no reason, not asking any questions. I see lawyers do this. I see lawyers who say, you know, a client will go in and say, hey, I need a will. And say, okay. And then just draft them one. Hey, you know, you got to ask the right questions. It's not who wants what. It's how big's your estate? Do we have any estate tax problems? Do you have long-term care insurance?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of ways you can lose your assets. And, you know, going through probate's only one. So, you know, we have a very comprehensive intake sheet that we give our clients. And for anyone who wants one, you can always call our office or, send me an email. Yeah. We'll be happy to send one to you. And whether you come to us or not, take it to your lawyer and say, if you don't ask me these questions, there's something wrong here. Yeah. You know, you've got it. Your lawyer should be asking you questions.
Well, you know, sometime when you come back again, if you can prepare something like that, we can offer it to the listeners.
That'd be great,
They can call up and give us their mailing address, and we'll send them one.
Perfect.
You know, I mean, anything like that, because people sometimes, I know on Money Matters later on this morning, Barry Armstrong will do that. He'll come up with he'll have an attorney on, and the attorney, look, I prepared a paper, folks. You don't have to call me, but just read it. Please, please call and get this piece of paper.
Right.
And then when whoever your attorney is, when you go to him, make sure he addresses these issues.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, you have a piece of information that may or may not be any good.
Right. How can someone give you good advice when they don't know anything about you?
Right.
And haven't asked any questions about you?
Well, it was a caller the other day, and he said, well, who did you talk to? There was an attorney on. He says, well, our family lawyer. He said, well, what is he? What? He said, no, he's been in the family for many years.
Yeah.
Well, what is his specialty? Oh, he's just a lawyer. You know? And he might be in small claims tomorrow in the morning.
Well, you know what they say, master of many trades, what is it, jack of many trades, master of none.
My dad used to say, well, jack of all trades, master of none. You know?
That's right.
But anyway, the interesting thing is that it can happen.
Yeah.
And you can go in and think you've got everything done. And all of a sudden, you're hit with this huge tax that you never knew was coming, and half your money's now gone.
That's right. And Dick, to the point we were just talking about, I mean, about half the stuff that's on my desk are cleanups from poorly drafted plans or from a situation where the proper questions weren't asked. Yeah. So, you know, you can almost do as much damage. In fact, last night I was meeting with a client, and a client just had a plan drafted last year, which was totally incorrect. They were upset that they're going to have to pay to have this redone by me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said, well, this is what it would cost. This is what it would cost if you didn't redo it. You know, he's like, okay, go ahead and do it. Yeah. when you add up the costs, you know, it makes sense to have a private, but again, didn't go to see a specialist.
Right. Let's tell them one more time, Brendan, how they can get a hold of you. And we're going to have Brendan back again because this is such an incredible conversation and it's so important. And I know our audience is all, you know, our basic audience is 45 plus. Mm-hmm. And now is the time.
That's right.
You know, don't wait till you're 78.
Yeah.
And you're in the back of the ambulance. Yeah. Do it now.
That's right. You know. That's right. My clients always say, "Do I have time to do this?" I always say to them, "Well, that's fine. Just don't die on me."
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's true.
It's true. You know, it's true. You know, so the address again is 71 Elm Street, Suite 102 in Worcester, Massachusetts, 01609. Telephone number is 508-751-5010. Website is www.estatepreservationlaw.com, and my personal email is bking@estatepreservationlaw.com.
Terrific. Well, Brendan, I want to thank you very much for stopping by this morning. And folks, there you have it. If you have any issues, you have any questions, give them a call. It's not going to cost you any money to make that call.